Jesus is still in Capernaum. That's where his headquarters are. And that's kind of where we left him. We're going to start up Luke chapter 5. And we see this. It came to pass, in verse 1 of chapter 5, came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. Now, you and I would call that the Sea of Galilee. That's its other name. They call it the Lake of Gennesaret. But you know it better as the Sea of Galilee. So there he is. He's still in the Capernaum area, right there on the water. Now, a little above Capernaum, a little north, you know, is the city of Nazareth. He wasn't welcome in, although he grew up there. But here he is on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, and he's teaching the Word of God. And many, many people came out to listen to him. So many, as a matter of fact, that it was just too crowded. He couldn't get the job done. So here's what we read in verse 2. He saw two ships standing by the lake. Now that means they're at the shore. The fishermen had brought their ships in. The fishermen were out of the ships and they were washing their nets. We know that some are washing the nets and they're working with the nets. And because if you'll get to see the Sea of Galilee someday, I know you will in the millennium for sure. But if you get over there before that, you're going to see that there are a lot of hillsides, and the hills come almost down to the water. Sometimes there's a little bit of a beach, but in many places the hill just comes almost down to the water. So you imagine what he wants to do. He wants to get in the ship, back it up a little ways from the shore. People can sit on the hillsides, and the water will be a natural public address system. It'll reflect his voice off the water, and many, many people, thousands, can listen. So he sees these two ships, and he enters into one of the ships, verse 3, which was Simon's. Now, you met Simon, and Simon Peter, you've seen him. Last chapter, his mother-in-law was healed. Remember that? Same Simon Peter. He entered into Simon Peter's ship, in the Simon ship, and he prayed him, verse 3, that he would thrust out a little from the land. Just back up a little bit from the shore, a little bit into the water, and then Jesus would sit down and would teach the people right out of the ship. That would be his pulpit. Now, if you've read the four Gospels, you sort of have a grasp. Now, if you haven't, take some time, it doesn't take you long, and read through the four Gospels. Because you'll learn that this is not the first time Jesus and Peter have met. Well, you saw in chapter 4, as a matter of fact, he healed Peter's mother-in-law right there in Peter's house. He did have a noon meal with him. But if you read through the Gospels, you're going to learn that Jesus met Andrew and Peter right after he was baptized. After Jesus himself was baptized. And the next day, Jesus was walking by, and John the Baptist said to a couple of his disciples, John said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Listen to him. Follow him." And those two disciples that John was talking to, John the Baptist, they went after Jesus and followed him from that point on, basically. One of those disciples, we are told, was Andrew. Andrew's brother is Simon. Right. And what did Andrew do? He went and got his brother. Said, "You got to come. We've met the Messiah. You got to come and see him. Comes out of Nazareth." And so Peter, his name is Simon, came to Jesus. And what did Jesus say? "Your name is Simon." That means shifty. Not real steady. "Your name is Simon, but I'm going to call you Peter." That means a little rock. Sturdy like a little rock. Peter and Andrew and their close friends who kind of worked with him, partnering in a business of fishing, Zebedee and his two sons, James and John. They're all partners here working on the Sea of Galilee in this area. So this isn't the first time that Jesus has dealt with Peter. But you'll notice that when Peter met Jesus, and it was told that he's the Messiah, he was a follower, but Peter was introduced to Jesus by his brother Andrew, and though Peter was a follower of Jesus, he still had his fishing business going. Notice that? When we run into him here in chapter 5, he still got his fishing business going. He and his brother. So although he was a follower of Jesus, he hadn't stopped it completely to follow 100%. He was with him for some of the time, and then he wasn't with him for other times, because he had to keep on earning his living. Well, Jesus gets in Simon's boat and says, "Would you please allow me to use your boat? If you just back it up from the shore a little ways, I'd like to sit and I'd like to teach the people. There are just too many. We need to get them closer to the shore so they can all hear. But, you know, I could stand on the water, but, you know, do you mind, Simon, if I use your boat?" Simon's a nice guy. Plus, you know, Jesus just healed his mother-in-law. So Simon says, come on, hop on board. And they move out a little bit. Jesus sits down and he teaches the word of God. Now, can you imagine Simon? Just, you know, you have to think like Simon. Just pretend for a moment that Simon Peter was actually a person. And he actually thought like me and you. Okay, it's hard to get to think about that. Think now, hard. He thinks like we do. I already know what's going on in the boat because I've read a few verses ahead. Now, Peter, Simon, he's not listening a lot to what Jesus has got to say. He's just proud that Jesus is on his boat. Is Jesus on my boat? Jesus is with me. Oh, man, I can't believe so-and-so sitting on the hill. Ooh, man, Jesus, give it to him. I didn't think they'd show up, but oh man, yeah, I can't. Oh man, there's. Oh look, she's there. She's close to the shore. Oh, let her have it. She needs to hear this. I mean, imagine if he thought like us. Well, he did. That's exactly what he thought. Ooh, I'm so and so showed up today, and you know what Jesus is going to be talking about? Oh man, I can't wait to watch their face. And there's Peter. This is my boat. Let him have it, Jesus. But just looking out the people, see how they were reacting to this message. And Jesus preached the word of God. We don't know what his message was at this particular time. But we know he preached the word of God because he is God. And so he spoke it out. Now, when he was finished, verse 4 says, when he left speaking, he said to Simon. This is an interesting statement. Now, you know, basically what he's saying is this. Thank you, Simon, for letting me use your boat. You know, I appreciate it. I'd like to bless you. I'd just like to return the blessing to you. It was a blessing to me for you to let me use your boat. If you'll go out in the deep water, let me read it to you. Launch out into the deep. Get out there where the water's deep. And let down your nets, and I'll fill them with fish. Now, I appreciate you letting me use your boat. Let me bless you. You bless me. Launch out in the deep and let down your nets. And he says, for a draught. In our language, I'll fill them full. Now, Peter's being polite, but all right, now how much does a carpenter know about fishing? You know, Jesus didn't grow up around the water. I mean, maybe they had a well that people would bring water from. But he didn't grow up around the water. He grew up in a carpenter shop. You know, and Peter, he just looks at him thinking, nice guy. Nice guy. But Lord, God bless you. You know, doesn't it bother you when you've been doing this for 20 years and someone comes up and tries to tell you how to do it? It happens to musicians all the time. You know, you're playing away and someone comes up and goes, hey, you know, you ought to play an A minor there. Thanks. Do you play guitar? No, I just, you know, you can imagine Peter. Come on, he does think like me and you. And Peter's thinking, ain't that touching? That's really not, he wants to bless me. That's nice. You notice Peter, he doesn't know who he's dealing with. He has no clue who he's dealing with. He doesn't know. And so he says this, very politely though. He said in verse 5, he said, Master, We've been fishing all night. We have worked hard all night. And we have caught nothing. Now, I know how to fish. I know what to use to fish. And I know when to fish. And I did all the things I know. I am a fisherman. And we caught nothing. I'm telling you, there are no fish out there right now. And the sun is out now because the people are there. They're not going to... Listen, if there were, this is not going to work. You can't do it now. How many times have you told that to God? God says, just step out and fish. You can't. Not now. You can't step out and fish. I don't have enough money. That's not going to work. I know my business. I know how to do this. This is not the time to do this. Nevertheless, or in our language, but, you're a guest on my boat. And you did heal my mother-in-law. So, he says, at your word, since you've asked me to, I'll let down the net. Oh, would you, Peter? God bless him. And what does he do? He goes out there into the deep and he lets down the net. And he knows he's not going to catch anything, but you know, I'm going to keep Jesus happy. And when they had this done, verse 6, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, so many that their net broke. So many fish that the net was torn. You see, you say, I got nothing but this little boat. Some of you might even go lower than that. I got nothing but this little dinghy. You let God use it. And he will bless you. He said, if you will trust in me, if you'll just listen to me, I will open up the windows of heaven. If you'll give to me what you've got, I will open up the windows in heaven wide open, and I will pour out on you blessings. So many blessings that you couldn't hold it. You could smash it down in a big basket, shake it to make sure it all fits tightly. No matter how you stuffed it in, it would still be overflowing and run over to everybody that's around you. All you need to do is just let me use you. Let me use your stuff. Oh, this is not the time to fish. It's the sun's up. This is not going to work. We know what we're doing. We've been out all night. But we'll do it. He wasn't really acting in too much faith, because I sort of cheated and read the language to you quickly. I try to do that to you sometimes just to see if you'll catch me. He said, let down your nets, plural. Then Peter said, okay, we'll let down a net. All right, if it'll make you happy, we'll put one out there. What did Jesus say? Everyone you got. I'm going to bless you. I want to thank you for letting me use you and your boat. Let down your nets. All right, well, and what does the Bible say? And when they had done this, he says, nevertheless, at your word, I'll let down the net. So he puts the net out there, and they enclosed so many fish that the net began to rip and break. And they beckoned unto their partners. They were yelling, hey, guys, get out here quick, which were at the other ship, that they should come and help them. Who were in the other ship? Zebedee, James and John. They're fishing buddies. They were working together. You got to get out here, man. We need your help. And so they came on out, and they came and filled both ships, so much so that both ships were so full of fish that they almost sank. They almost couldn't get them back to the shore. That's how much God blessed them. And Peter wasn't expecting that. And he didn't listen too close to the message either that had just gone on. Jesus knew that. When Simon Peter, verse 8, when he saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees. And he said, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. He didn't get much out of the message that just went out. But he realized something got to his heart. And he realized this is really the Messiah. This is God. I saw him do the healings. I saw him cast out demons. I saw him doing those things. But I'm telling you, something got to his heart right there. When you enter into the presence of God and you recognize that he is God, the same thing will happen to me and you. We will see how short we have come to his glory, and we will be ashamed. Job chapter 42, verse 5. Job says this, right near the end of the book. I have heard you by the hearing of the ear. I've heard about you. I've heard all kinds of stories about you. But now my eyes have seen you. Wherefore, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. I've heard about you, heard a lot of stories, but now you've gotten to my heart, and now I realize you are God, you are holy. I abhor myself and repent. I need to change. Peter says, I'm a sinful man. You got to get away from me, Lord. You can't be here. I can't be this close to you. You got to get off my boat. This isn't right. Isaiah chapter 6, where he said, In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, sitting on a throne, and his train filled the temple. And the angels cried, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord." And he said, when I saw that, in Isaiah 6, 5, I said, "Woe is me, for I am undone." Meaning, I am in deep trouble, and I shouldn't even be witnessing this, and I am unclean. He says, "Because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." When you enter into the presence of God and you begin to realize He is God, your own heart is going to say, "I shouldn't be here. I don't belong. I am a sinner." You're going to recognize, as Peter is recognizing, his need to be cleansed. When you get into a bright light and you get in front of a mirror, the brighter the light, the easier it is to see what's wrong with you in the mirror. I stay away from those. Scare myself. But it's easy to see what's wrong. The closer you get to the Lord, you enter into the presence of God, and it's real easy. All of a sudden, you don't worry about what's wrong with her or what she said to offend you or what's wrong with him and all the problems he's got. All suddenly you're going, "Oh my goodness, I am a mess." Everybody else is going to just fade from the picture. Bright lights in front of that mirror and you think, "Oh, look at me." Ooh. The Bible says that's exactly what reading your Bible is like. Like looking into a mirror. A man beholding his face in the mirror. But if we don't do what we read, it's like looking in the mirror, seeing you're filthy, walking away and forgetting what your face looked like. Peter says, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Now, he didn't think that while Jesus was preaching to all them people, did he? "He's fine with my boat. Jesus is on my boat, guys. Listen to him. Listen to this man talk. Personal friend of mine." But when God got to his heart, then he forgot about all those people and what they should be hearing. He says, "Lord, you got to get off my boat. Oh, I'm a sinful man. You got to leave me, Lord." You know something? The thing that is most natural to you and me is the thing that is most hateful to God. And that is what? Pride. The thing that is most natural in my heart and in your heart is the thing that is most hateful to the Lord, pride. Whether you are a Christian or a non-Christian, pride will destroy. It'll destroy your ministry. It'll destroy your family. It will destroy your life. And a haughty spirit always goes before a fall. Interesting, we read in Proverbs 20, verse 6. "Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find?" Every one of us is going to say, I'm doing okay. I'm growing. I mean, I'm a loser, but so-and-so is worse. It's easy. You'll find that we proclaim our own goodness pretty regularly. But a faithful man who can find? I don't think that you're ever going to do it right. I don't think so. I don't think I'm ever going to do it right. I just don't think it's going to happen with me. I want to. You know, down south they say you got the Cain helpets or the bound twos. I got the Cain helpets, but it doesn't work. Because as soon as someone spits in my face, even if I don't spit back, in my heart, I'm going, "Oh, you dirty Russian fresh and fresh of ever." Now, I never said that, but there it was. And you know, Jesus said, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." And so what's in the well of your heart comes out the bucket of your mouth sooner or later. So it's a heart issue. And so we pray, we sing it, "Change my heart. Change my..." Could you get to my heart and change it? "I am a sinful man, depart from me, O Lord." Peter realized Jesus Christ is Lord. Well, what happened? Jesus said, "All right, I'm out. I'm gone. No, wait a minute. See, Peter was astonished, verse 9, and all that were with him, at the draught or at the amount of fishes that they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon Peter. And Jesus said unto Simon, he said this, and he's talking to all of the disciples there. He's talking to Andrew, Peter's brother. He's talking to James and John, these four brothers. He's talking to me, and this is what he says. He says, do not be afraid. From now on, you are going to catch men. You'll be fishers of men. Now, they've been following him for a while now, but they had not stopped the business of fishing. That was the day right there when God said, you're recognized now. You know, Peter said, man, you can't be near me. I am gross. You better get away from me. I'm a sinner. And Jesus said, you're the very one I want. Someone who recognizes that they need help. He says, I want to use you. I'm going to use you now to fish for men. You too, James. You too, Andrew. You too, John. And then what does the Bible say? When they had brought the ships to land, they forsook all and they followed Jesus. They followed him. What a thought. I don't know if it's happened to you. It's happened to me in my life. I don't know if it's happened to you. But I see Peter and Andrew and James and John. They are not going to spend the rest of their lives fishing on the Sea of Galilee. But that was their plan. Their plan was to spend their lives earning a decent living. When I make enough money out of one little boat, I'll put all my money in another little boat. And pretty soon I'll have three little boats, then four little boats, then five little boats, then a great big fleet of great big boats. I'll open a cannery. Soon I'll be able to sit back behind a desk and do nothing. And I'll have people running those boats. And you know, I can have, I'll retire. And I've got my life planned out. You know, we're partners here. We got James and John and Zebedee over here. We got Andrew and Peter, and they're working together, and they brought in a bunch of fish today. Don't you think that's going to bring in a little money? They've been working all night, brought nothing. Now they got so many fish, boy, you know. And they came back with boats full of fish, and they walked away to follow Jesus forevermore, never to go fish again. Full time. And I remember the days in music when the Lord said to me, not in the same words, but this is what he was saying. He said, follow me. I'll make you a fisher of men. And I remember that day forsaking all and following. And you see, I had boats filled with fish, so much so that those fish were almost sinking the boats. And here Peter and Andrew, they walked away from boats full of fish. That was a lot of money. And the Bible says they brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. In the Greek, all means. So now we have to search our own hearts to say to the Lord, what does that mean to me? See, he's not going to call every one of you into full-time ministry. Even though you're all in ministry, he's not going to call every one of you. But some of you, he might call. He called a few of us. Those of us who would have said to him, you can't use me. What could I do? You know, I'm a funny thing, because I can't do much. And I keep thinking, Lord, what can I do? I know a little bit about theater. I guess we could do that. I know a little bit about music. I guess I could do that. I think I understand this. If you'd give me the words, maybe I could tell somebody where it would be really simple to understand. You notice how when you say, Lord, I don't think I can do much, but here I am. Do something with me. Aren't you amazed at what he'll do? And then people will be standing there telling you it can't be done, and there it is being done. Aren't you amazed at what he'll do if you just say, I'm not worthy to be called your son. I'd like you to just hire me on as a servant. I'd just rather be a doorkeeper there in your house. And it's amazing what God will do with you. Will you
be a super Christian?
No. Will you stop sinning? Not in the flesh. Someday it's going to happen, but that's when we're out of here. You'll know that I'm doing great when I'm not breathing no more. And then you can say, yeah, he finally quit sinning. It's the same with you. You're going to fight this flesh, your spirit and your flesh, the rest of your life here. That's why you will not take this flesh with you when you go to heaven. Or you'll be fighting it there too. Those of you that have eternal life, think about Peter. Never again would Peter make his living by fishing. He did go fishing one more time. And I know that you remember that. Jesus had been crucified. Before Jesus was crucified, Peter denied him three times. He even swore, bringing a curse on his own life. Curse me to the lowest hell if I've ever even met the guy. And he went out and he wept bitterly. And he did not know in his heart what was going to happen next. He didn't know what was going to happen to his life. He didn't know what would be. And when he saw Jesus risen again, he just didn't know what to think or what to do. And even though he knew Jesus had risen, he still didn't quite understand what was going to happen to him. Maybe I'm not fit for ministry anymore because I've sinned. Maybe God won't use me anymore because I was so stupid with my life. Maybe I threw away so many things. Maybe God won't use me anymore. And so what did he say? He said to the guys, I don't know what to do. I'm confused. I'm hurt. I'm scared. I have blown it. I've sinned probably bigger than anybody in the world. I don't know what to do. So guys, I'm going to do the only thing I know. I'm going fishing. Remember that? And the guys go, no, Peter, man, you know Jesus loves you. You know you're forgiven. Remember all the things he told? No. What did they say? We'll go with you. Remember that? Seven of them. And they fished when? All night. And what did they catch? Nothing. Remember that? There was Jesus when the sun was coming up. They were sort of coming back into shore. He yelled out, he said, children, have you got any food? You catch anything? Children, who's the guy on the shore? Maybe he wants to buy some fish awful early. Well, answer him back. And they yelled, no, we caught nothing. And what did he tell them? You throw your nets on the other side and I'll fill it. Throw it out on the other side. What did John say? That's Jesus. I would recognize that command anywhere. Peter didn't even wait to see. He jumped in the water and swam to shore. He wanted to be close to Jesus. He was scared that Jesus wouldn't love him anymore. Remember that? Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. Then you feed my sheep. Peter, do you really love me? Lord, you know I love you. Then you feed my little ones, my lambs. Peter, do you really love me? And Peter was heartbroken at that time. Three times he denied him. Now three times he was going to have to say yes or no. The third time he said, you know I love you, Lord. You know everything. She said, then you feed my sheep. What was he telling him? I love you. And when I called you and you left everything, you don't need to go back. You're mine. You keep on fishing for men. You know, I have learned after reading through this, and I've seen others say it, that every pulpit is a fishing boat. Not just me standing behind this one, but you. When you sit behind your desk and you're telling someone about the Lord, when you're driving in your car and you're talking to friends about Jesus, when you're talking to the neighbors over the fence, you're at a pulpit. That's where you're at. Wherever you're sharing, at school, at home, wherever you're sharing, at work, you're at a pulpit. And every pulpit is a fishing boat. And what are we doing? At his word, we're throwing out the net. We do it when we did a production of testimony. What were we doing? We have no clue. All we're saying is at your word, we're going to throw out the net and just see what you'll do. Every time you share Jesus, that's your pulpit, and you are tossing out that net in faith. Sometimes I've seen the disciples come back with nothing. Sometimes I've seen them come back with something that they couldn't even handle. It was so big. We don't worry about that part. But you've got to be willing to give him your heart. Sometimes I've seen him call people and say, follow me? And they forsook all for 6 months. Because that's all he required. This is just a 6 month time slot, or 6 weeks, or 6 years, or 67 years. Every calling is different. And every calling is personal from the Lord. Listen to him. Give him your heart. Understand that when you sin, he's not shocked, even though you are. And you say things like, we say things like, I can't believe I said that. You know, we're shocked and stunned when we sin. But God is not shocked. He knows it all, and he died for the sins of the world. He loves you. And there's a calling on your life. Every one of you is a believer. Sometimes it's a call to a full-time ministry. Sometimes it's a simple call to walk. Sometimes it's even a deeper call. And he'll take every heart and every life the way he wants to take them for his purposes. Sometimes you end up doing things you had no experience in, never dreamed you'd be doing them. That's when it's exciting. That's when it's like stepping out of the boat and walking on water. That's fun. He loves you. Pray about these things. And watch as they leave their ships and forsake everything and follow Jesus. Let's bow our heads.